Hey Warrior, I know you're tired of doing life, work, and relationships alone and not knowing what to do or how to do it, but you know you can't do it by yourself. And how do I know? Because I was you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to book a free breakthrough call so we can talk about your life and your future and what's frustrating you the most as a man. And I want to get you connected to an amazing community of Christ-centered men who can all relate to your struggles, who can sharpen you, strengthen, and support you in the areas that matter most to you as a man. So stop wasting time. Just go to realmenconnect.com/call to book a breakthrough call, because nothing is going to change unless you change something. We only have a limited number of time slots each week, so book your free call today. That's realmenconnect.com/call. Again, that's realmenconnect.com/call.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. And I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin. And every week, we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and has created us to be. And each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Guys, today we have another good friend of mine. His name is Gary Nix. And Gary is retired from the United States Navy after 20 years of service. And after Gary retired from the military, he became a law enforcement officer for 11 years and was medically retired, during which time he received his graduate degree in human behavior, subsequently leading him into becoming a clinical director in adolescence behavior and family therapy for 10 years, going on to teach criminal justice collegiately prior to retiring. And Gary is currently married to his wonderful wife, Anna Marie, and they have adult children, Aviana, Jasmine, Cody, and Yasmin. And Gary's passion is discipling and mentoring young men in health and fitness. Guys, I am so excited about having my friend Gary on as a guest on the show today, because he's not the typical guest. Gary is one of our leaders in the Real Men 300 who's been with us almost from the beginning. He's come to become a close friend and one of my most trusted advisors in ministry, and he's agreed to be part of our Real Men Stories series. Now, the Real Men Stories series is not the typical podcast interview that we do. On this podcast, we know that usually we talk about a lot about brotherhood and community and how a man is only as strong as the number of stronger men he has on his team. And you've also heard me mention something about our brotherhood called the Real Men 300. It's our private brotherhood community where we help men and win at what matters most as husbands, as fathers, as spiritual leaders. And we do so by connecting with other like-minded men while providing them with mentoring, coaching, counseling, and accountability, all with a Christ-centered focus. But I decided to do something different. Why tell you about the men in our community and what we do when I can bring some of those brothers on the podcast to tell you for themselves? And Gary is one of those guys. These guys are not best-selling authors, award-winning speakers, or megachurch pastors. These are just ordinary men just like you who serve an extraordinary God. And they've all agreed to share their story, their struggles, and their personal journey with you, and I can't wait. So Warrior Nation, join me in welcoming my brother in Christ, my friend and fellow warrior in the fight for men's soul, Gary Nix. Welcome to the show, Gary.
Hey, thank you, Joe. Well, glad to be here.
And, you know, and Gary, I know I said a mouthful in that introduction, but I tell you, as I've been interviewing the leaders and having them come on, and we're going to bring other members from our community on, it just makes me stop and pause. And I sit back and I watch, like, wow, it's been a ride, man. It's been a journey. We've all gone through a lot together as men. And I mean, and yeah. We're going to try to touch on some of the stuff we do, that they're not even getting half the stuff that we've gone through together as a community.
Yes.
But Gary, yes. I know you've been a listener to our podcast. I always start our podcast off by asking our guests what's their favorite Bible verse that gives them inspiration from the Word of God. And what's been your verse for you that's been inspiring for you?
You know, for me, it's Galatians 2:20, where it says, I've been crucified in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me.
Gary, why is that? Why is that? I love that verse too. That's one of my memory verses. Why is that such an important verse to you in your life?
You know, there was a point in my life where I struggled to believe that. Right. Mm-hmm. So I came to a point where I rededicated my life to Christ. And that was just one that stuck with me. It's tattooed on me. I see it all the time. And it reminds me that I don't live. I'm not of this world anymore. Right. I'm not of this world. I am. It's greater than that. It's bigger than that. And that, you know, Christ's life for me, when he died on a cross for me, he died for me. Right. And my sins. So it just completely reminds me and helps me to recenter almost all the time that I live for Christ. I don't live for man. And if I continue to live for Christ, then I'm going to reap rewards for that.
Right. You know, it's such a powerful, powerful verse that I think everybody should be committing to memory if they're going to be serious followers of Christ and be a disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, Gary, I mentioned in the introduction that you've been here almost from the beginning. And what they don't know is that, man, you became a leader pretty fast. And I saw it on you when you first got here. But I'm curious to know, how did you find us at Real Men Connect, and what brought you to us, and why did you reach out to us?
You know, what brought me to RealMen, well, how I found you guys was just purely by happenstance. I happened to be looking for some podcasts because at the time I was teaching collegiately at a junior college, and I was driving 45 minutes to an hour back and forth. I'm like, you know what, listening to music, and I hit these blind spots. I'm like, you know, I can take this 45 minutes to really, feed my spirit. So I started looking for podcasts and just dropping through different podcasts going, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. And then I came up on this Real Man podcast. And the guy on there started talking about, developing men and God's way. And I'm like, wow, this is interesting. Right. So I listened to a couple and went, wow, on point. This is exactly what my spirit has been looking for, because I had been, you know, ministry leader, worship leader in a few churches, and always felt like I'm missing something. Something's missing here, right? The relationship is missing. I sit in a men's Bible study, and guys are there for that hour, and then they're hustling to get out of there. They're not interested in a relationship. They're just, you know, and I get it, right? Because why would I want to jump into a relationship with a guy that whose wife might know my wife, and then they get to chatting about something me and him have talked about, and then, you know, so I totally understood why guys felt so disconnected in that environment. But then it's like, here's this ministry where these guys are talking about fellowship, accountability, mentorship, discipleship, you know, changing who they are and building that relationship with God so they could become these guys that want accountability, that want to sharpen one another, that want to be better husbands and fathers and sons. It's like, okay, I got to figure out what this is about, right? This just seems like something that is too good to be true.
Right.
And then come to find out it is all that joker that was yapping about.
You know, and Gary, you know, it's funny because as guys come through the ministry and I get a chance to talk to, because I talk to them when they come in, and, you know, in your spirit, you know, you like spirits attract, and you can, I know there's times when guys come in, I'm thinking God, and I mean, God tells me on day one, that's the person that if they stick around, they're going to be a leader. You know, they're going to be a leader. And there's guys who I didn't get that with. And with you, it was almost immediate. I'm like, this dude's going to be a leader. And I've been on point with some of that, with some of the guys that did. I'm like, some guys who become leader, I'm like, I would have never guessed that person would have become a leader. And in either case, it's been a blessing and it's been a surprise, but you weren't a surprise. And it was funny, as I learned your story, which I mean, that's what we're going to transition into now. I want you to tell us a little bit about your story. it seems like your life is a hybrid of my wife and me. It's like you're meshed with both of us, got a little bit of both of us in you based on your story, based on your story about how you grew up and then what you experienced as a professional. So tell us, take us a little bit back. Tell me a little bit more about how you grew up as a kid and what was little Gary like?
Well, little Gary was rambunctious and all over the place. But my story starts with a wonderful woman who adopted me at 3 months old and took on this 3 month old when she had almost adult daughters, my two sisters, who are amazing women within their own right, spirit-led, God-centered women. My mother, who I call my mother, which is my adopted mother. I don't really know my biological mother. My adopted mother is a powerful woman of God. She passed about 5 years ago now, which has just been a hole in my life because she was just such an amazing person. So I always joke about being a drug baby, right? And a lot of people go, drug baby, what does that mean? I was drugged to church on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and all day Sunday. So I've always known since being a little guy that there was this thing greater than me, which was God. I grew up in Vacation Bible School. I grew up in choir. I grew up, my closest friends were all friends from church. So I've always known God. But, you know, there comes a point where it feels like you're forced to know God and then knowing God on your own. And that really didn't happen for me until I was probably about 20, 21, 22 years old, when I began to really seek to understand God more for myself and not so much for who I had grown up to know God as. I gave my life to Christ at the age of 16 years old, never looked back, but I still felt this void, which led into me doing some things. Once I joined the military at 17 years old, left home and just kind of got out in the world from that very sheltered experience of being around Christ-centered folks. So I thought, and I say so I thought, is because, you know, for deacon, whoever was to show up on Sunday morning and smell like alcohol, it was like, oh, well, he's here. But that didn't sit right in my spirit. And there was something that just didn't sit right in my spirit. And I got to a point where I really truly started to understand, as I sought God for myself and my relationship with God for myself, that there was a reason why between 17 and I'd say 22 years old, things were a struggle. I'd go out, I'd do things, and there was something that felt very convicting to me that said, this just isn't right, right? I shouldn't be out here, which led me to Christ. It led me right down the road to really seeking Him. I was over in, I think, Japan when I came upon a pastor that was on mission in Japan, and really started to seek and understand my relationship with Christ. And that just kind of started my story. Not a perfect story by any means whatsoever, but it started my journey of really seeking a relationship with God. So,
and Gary, what we're going to do, we're going to go back and we're going to start unpacking some stuff, because I know there's even within that story that you told us, and I know there's other things in that story along your journey. And we're going to start with your mom adopting you, because obviously you're only 3 months old. You don't know what's going on. But as you learn about your adoption, how do you think that impacted you as a young man growing up? What ripples effect did that have in your life? Because your mom seemed like a wonderful woman. So did you have any issues with that?
You know, I didn't for a while, until I think I was probably where I was old enough to really understand what adopted meant. which was probably around 10, 11 years old, I truly understood what it was about. And then I started to have this desire, or maybe not such a desire, but I started to have these issues with feeling like I was abandoned, mm-hmm. right? Why did my mom give me up? What was it about me that caused her to give me away?
And Gary, and let me interrupt you for a second, because you've got a background in counseling and you've worked with human behavior. Is that typical of kids who've been adopted that they normally, no matter, regardless of how good the home is, they go through that?
Yes, you notice that? I believe that a large, I'd say about 95% of children that have been adopted, even though they have amazing parents. I mean, my mother was amazing. Mm-hmm. She was my mom. She was my dad. She was my teacher. She was my mentor. She was my disciplinarian. Mm-hmm. Lord knows she was my disciplinarian. but I still went through this period where I really, really struggled with the whole abandonment issue, you know? And I said, I've worked with quite a few children that have been adopted, and they all have gone through. And, you know, one of the things that we really talk about in their therapy when they really started to act out was they were struggling with abandonment. They felt
abandoned.
So did
you act out then? Did you start acting out once you got to that point? How did you respond to that dissonance about where you came from and the parents leaving you?
I believe I did start acting out, but I got a really harsh correction fairly quickly. Mm. Like I said, my mom, in that time, she didn't play, right? You start acting out, then she started correcting.
Right.
And I didn't learn that it was those feelings of abandonment until some years later when I started seeking. Well, it was I started seeking because this led right into a period of time where I was looking at being dishonorably discharged from the United States Navy because of an issue or a situation that had been created through the feeling of abandonment. And with that abandonment was anger. And with that mm-hmm. anger was, you know, just fill in the blank. And they made me go to anger management, which subsequently ended up in therapy. And learning that I had been suffering with some serious feelings of abandonment. And then, of course, I had to work through some issues of forgiveness.
Right.
It definitely played a part for about 12 years.
Wow. You know, Gary, let me go back also to your childhood, because your adopted mom had daughters already.
Yes.
And had daughters. And so you're growing up in a household. I grew up in the same kind of household around women. Yeah. And so what impact do you think that had on your life and your development as a man? Not having, you know, you don't have your biological parents with you. You got adopted parents. And then this is the mom there, but she's got mm-hmm. daughters, and you're growing up in a household with that much estrogen in it. So how did you respond to that? And what did you learn from that experience?
You know, my response to that was I basically had three moms, right? Wow. You get it. You have three moms.
It ain't always a blessing, right? Though.
Yeah, it ain't always a blessing, right? I had my mom, who was the disciplinarian. I had my oldest sister, who was more the one that taught me compassion. And then I had the younger sister, my sister Georgia, who is more of the educational minded, on point, on goal. So I had these three women that brought these three pieces into my life. The problem with that is that as I moved into relationships, mm-hmm. I had three women that took care of me all the time.
Right.
Right. So I really didn't understand that there was a reciprocating element to relationships, because I had these three women that always did everything for me, which in turn became problematic mm-hmm. in my relationships, because I would expect 100% from the female, because that's how I had grown up. right? They had always taken care of me. They'd always done things for me. I really hadn't done much for myself. And once I kind of learned that women weren't doing anything for me, then it just started to create some kind of catastrophe. I would start to sabotage the relationship because, you know, well, you're not going to do anything for me. I'm going to move on. Right. Mm-hmm. So it definitely had some negative effects, but the positive side of it is that, you know, I learned to be more compassionate. You know, the problem, you know, I learned to be more focused on my education and moving forward. I learned that God is my center in everything that I do. But again, I had these three women that were doing everything for me. So it was a problem that I had to figure out.
You know, it's interesting that we can grow up in a pretty good home, and where, especially when we got strong women, especially in the African-American community, the mom is usually the matriarch and the dad is not typically there. But we never anticipate that we're missing anything, especially when we're getting a lot of love in that home. But even in your case, you still needed that masculine side somewhere in there. And obviously you're going into, you're going into the military, you become a law enforcement officer. When did you have an encounter with a man that really kind of opened your eyes and said, wait a minute, I'm missing something. I need something. When did that happen?
Yeah. You know, for me, that happened probably, I would say, right about 2023. I came into the awesome presence of a guy named, I only knew him as Master Chief, right? Because that's what he was in the military, as Master Chief. Master Chief Blewett. And he was a dominating force. He was a guy that I looked up to. Because everything that came out of his mouth had such a awesome air of wisdom. And he was a phenomenal leader. People would just, I noticed that guys and when women would just die to be in his presence. And I had the opportunity to sit with Master Chief and later be mentored by Master Chief. And he really started to help me to develop into a leader, to help identify what it really meant to be a man. Mm-hmm. Right. Prior to him though, there was also a guy that came into my life when I was younger, Mr. Davenport, and he was my troop leader, you know, as a Boy Scout. He really started the process, and then Master Chief just took it and ran with it. So it would definitely be those two individuals, a starting, dropping the seeds, and then Master Chief picked up on those seeds and just helped me develop into more of a focus. It helped me focus more toward leadership and mentorship and what it took to progress through the military and be respected in the military. For what I had to say and what I did in the military. And that just continued to move me forward.
You know, and Gary, and I know even with your past, you weren't free from having to deal with your own trauma, even though you started helping other people with theirs and other and kids. And you and I share a similar story that before we had the male figures in our life, we were molested. And abused. When did that take place and how did that affect you in moving forward?
That took place when I was younger. That took place when I was younger. And I would say that for a while there, you know, it's just one of those things that you didn't pay a lot of attention to. You knew it wasn't right. But you just kind of let it go and keep moving on. You know, we didn't grow up in an element where you went and told somebody, because if you went and told someone, then that would just create more of an issue. And then just a fear of putting that out there somewhere. That caused me to the effects of that in my life was anger. and an inability to really trust men.
Yeah, that's what it did for me. Really, it was the trust factor for me then. I mean, I just stopped. I'm like, I wouldn't trust a word a man would tell me.
No.
After that.
No. So it took some time to work through that. I later in my life found out that, you know, that had a, you know, that anger subsequently led to some depression. Mm-hmm. And even though I was this high functioning individual and doing these jobs and things for the military and in law enforcement, I still struggled with depression. Mm-hmm. I just functioned well through it. So that was the piece that really I was challenged with and had to work through, and recognize that I had to work through these pieces in order to continue to move forward. And as tough as it was, you know, it was definitely one of those things that I am today. You know, I count it as gain, because had I not gone through those things, then I don't think I would be who I am today, right? And be able to help. And those pieces that also allowed me to say, hey, you know what? I've got to be able to show other individuals the strength that comes after that disaster.
Now, and Gary, I know with me, I suppressed it and hid it for so long that to the point that, you know, it affected and destroyed my marriage. When were you able to get the courage to open up and tell others about what you had gone through?
Wow. Yeah, I'm like you. I mean, it definitely had some effect on a couple of marriages. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I would say I was in my almost 40s before I even started to talk about it, before I started to put it out there, which would subsequently be about the same time that I was, you know, in law enforcement and running into individuals and could see that this was a big problem, right? Mm-hmm. And that this was something that they were struggling with. And in order to really have them recognize that I'm not here against you, I'm here to help you. I think it was in law enforcement when I first said those words, right? That this also happened to me, right?
And what prompted you to tell somebody then? Because I know with me, it was I'm trying to save a marriage. That's when I started opening my mouth. But what prompted you as a law enforcement officer to open your mouth about it?
It was a kid, a young kid. He was about 11 years old, and his uncle had molested him, and I'd arrested his uncle. And in getting him to open up in an interview, I put it out there. Mm-hmm. And this kid ended up really opening up about a few years of sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, you know, after that, I really struggled with it. It's like, man, did I just put that out there? Mm-hmm. Right. And it led into me beginning to gain a little more confidence. Now, I never, ever opened that up to my mom. I don't think she could handle it. Because some of the same things had happened to another member of my family. And it wasn't until she was in her 50s before that lid came off of it, and it devastated my mother. It just devastated my mom. So,
yeah, I remember the day I had to tell my mom we had gone to see, speaking of, you were in the Navy, we went to go see the Antoine Fisher story. You see the movie with Denzel Washington, directed it. Mm-hmm. And we went to go see, and my ex-wife told me to go take my mom to see it, but I didn't know what the movie was about, which that kind of caught me off guard.
Yeah,
sitting there watching it, and I'm sitting there in the theater, and I'm crying, but I can't let my mom know I'm crying. So you know how you get that sniff kind of thing. And so I'm not saying anything, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I didn't know this movie was about this. And then we get into the car, and it's really quiet. And my mom looks at me. She says, isn't that something that kid could have that much anger towards people and hide from that so much and not tell anybody and da 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 da? And I just put my head down and said, Mom, I said, that was me. And we wept and we cried in the car together. And she said, I knew it. I said, Mom, what do you mean you knew? She said, I knew something was wrong. And I just sensed in my spirit something was wrong. But when she had asked me, was something wrong with me? I told her no when I was a child. And she said, but a mother knows. I said, Mom, how would you know? She said, a mother knows. And it was devastating to her. You're right. It devastates your mother when they hear that because they think I could not protect my child.
Right.
But what we realize now, having grown through this, even though it took us a while to get there, that we realize that the freedom comes in to being able to talk about it.
To be able to talk about it.
Yeah, because you can set other people free from their bondage as well. Right. Now, let's shift gears, Gary. Let's talk about the Real Men 300, man, because obviously you have a different role than most people in our organization because you are now one of the key leaders in our ministry. But how has the Real Men 300, what role has it played in your development and success as a man? How has it helped you along the way? And what have you gained from this?
You know, one of the things the gain has definitely been recognizing that there is a lot of guys out there with the same story and recognizing that my story isn't exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that has helped me to be able to, one, seek deeper the word of God and getting deeper into scripture and recognizing that even in scripture, there was a lot of things going on that are very similar to what goes on today. Mm-hmm. And being able to mentor men and say, hey, look, man, this has been going on for a long time, right? So let's talk about, you know, let's talk about Moses, let's talk about Abraham, let's talk about Peter, let's talk about Paul, let's talk about John, let's talk about all of them, because there are these pieces that, again, it's not exclusive. It's not exclusive. There have been men that have been going through these challenges and struggles with relationships and with trusting God, especially trusting God. And it's helped me to, one, solidify a more deeper relationship with God, to the point, as we've talked before, when I wake up in the morning, I want God. When I before I go to bed at night, I want God. Mm-hmm. And I seek him all throughout the day, through different areas of being in a gym or being, you know, in a car driving or just listening to worship or just listening to, a sermon from someone. It's really caused me to really desire to want to be in his presence all the time. And through that desire has also pushed me to want men to have that same relationship.
Right, to have that same experience.
Mm-hmm. That same experience and saying, hey, man, you know, when you have this piece, all these things over here become so much clearer, right? Mm-hmm. When, you know, as we say, you know, tribulation leads to revelation, right? And we're designed to struggle. There is no, the word easy is not in the word of God, right? So it's definitely helped me to become more bold in my faith, to say those things that I would in the past kind of dance around because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings and blah, blah, blah. But today to be able to boldly say, no, that's not right. Right. And here is the word of God to support what I'm saying rather than just saying something to make somebody feel good.
Right. Right.
Right. So that's where it's definitely helped me. And then just to be around guys that are of like mind, that want, that are seeking a relationship, that want that accountability, that want to be better husbands, fathers, sons, and just, you know, glorifying God and doing those things. That has been the paramount of being a Real Men 300.
You know, I don't know if this is a fair question to ask you, but we have a unique, position. We've been men our whole lives, but we've never been around this many men at this level. Because you've worked around men in the military, you were around men in law enforcement, and you even worked around men in ministry. But I know for you, like for me, I've never been this deep with men before in it.
Right.
like this. And so we got a unique perspective that a lot of people don't see because we work with so many men at a time and we get to hear so many stories. And I don't know if it's a fair question for you, but based on now being immersed in this experience, what have you learned about manhood from being, from sitting in the seat you're sitting now to experience all these men? What have you learned even about manhood that you didn't, maybe didn't even know before, or at least to the extent that you know it now?
Well, you know, for me, what I've learned, it is hard to be a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not easy, right? Because we have been raised to have two emotions, either angry or sad. None of us have been told, oh, baby, it's okay. Share your emotions. Tell me how you feel.
How do you feel about that?
None of us.
Why are you angry?
Exactly.
What are you really afraid of?
You know, we've been told that real men don't cry.
Right.
Right? Suck it up. Mm-hmm. So in essence, what happens when we become, when we marry or get into, relationships, then we would rather die on our white horse than to get off of that horse and say, you know what, I just can't ride it right now. Mm-hmm. And here's why. And I find that that tends to be a ongoing linear line across men, right? Mm-hmm. The pride comes from not being able to really feel like they can share, share the feelings. The anger comes from not really feeling like they can share their feelings, or feeling disrespected and not recognizing that it's really not disrespect. That someone that just really wants you to get into your true self, right? They want you to be more compassionate. They want you to be more empathetic. They don't want you to be apathetic, because most men, because we only get those two emotions, we become very apathetic to the feelings of others, which has a disastrous effect on relationship, right? Because women are very emotional and they need you. You know, sometimes I think I had a friend of mine who said, when women look at men, what we see is a hairy, misbehaving woman, right? Because we want relationships with relationships with a man like they have with a girlfriend, but that's not the role that men are feel like they should take, right? And then we misconstrue biblically what head of household means, being the head, right? We take that, if we're not really understanding the true principles of God, and how the word of God really lays that out for us, then we take that and means that we're the hammer, right? Well, that doesn't work, right? Because women need someone that can be emotionally available for them when they struggle and lead them. And you can't lead anyone when you've been apathetic. Apathy is what we grew up with as men, right? Shut up, right? Be quiet. You're a man. You know, real men don't cry. Don't be a punk. Well, those are very unapathetic comments that we grew up with, right? So coming into a place and saying, okay, here it is, right? In order to fall, in order to let my wife know that I can fall off, I just can't bear it all on my shoulders all the time. I have to be willing to look at her and say, hey, right now, I feel like I'm not enough and I can't do it.
Right.
And I need you to help me step into this area, right? Or to pick up this piece while I try to compose myself so I can be this piece that you need from me, which is, again, that's not how we were raised as men. That is not, even with being raised by three women, I still had that mindset. Okay, well, this is what a man does.
Yeah, right? he has to be strong. He has to be invincible. I know Tanya has told me, I know when I tell her that I'm struggling with something, she'll say that, I remember the first time I told her I was struggling, she says that I appear to her the strongest when I'm at my weakest. And I'm like, what do you mean by that? And she says, So when you come to me with your struggles, it just reminds me that you're a man, not Superman. And yes, a lot of times we like to believe we have to be Superman in order to be appear to be strong to our wives, when right, really ought to look for somebody who's going to be authentic and real about the struggles. You right, know, I mean, when I ask you that question, because I, you know, God called me to men's ministry, but I'm even I'm shocked by some of the things I've learned about us as men. And I tell you, when you mentioned it earlier, Garrett, one of the things I didn't realize that we, so many of us really believe we're unique. That's yes, still a surprise to me, that I'm like, can we all really be that deceived that we think we're the only ones yes, that's going through this? And it's yes, amazing. We actually believe yes, that, and we know yes, it's not true. It's the weirdest yes, thing. And, you yes, know, I put down here in my notes too, that I've learned a lot from being in this ministry, that if we can't win, we don't want to play.
Right.
If we, absolutely. We're so results oriented that, okay, yeah, if I do this, this should be the result. If I don't get this result, I don't want to play anymore. Right. I don't want to do this right, anymore. So we expect things to change immediately. We had Dustin. I interviewed Dustin on this Real Men Story series. And Dustin said, when he joined Real Men Story, he says, now, how long is it going to take for him to fix me? He said, when is going to, how long? He said, he started laughing. He says, that's actually was his mindset, that mm-hmm, I got a problem. Let's fix it so I can be on and move on to other things. He said, I didn't know I was going to mm-hmm, be here for over years. To right, do this. He said, he right, just came here, quote, to get fixed. And I think a lot of men, they come to us now, they just want the results, but they don't want to put in the right, work. And they don't realize that it's not about you winning or losing. It's really right, about you being faithful to the process of right, winning, you know? So, right, but let me ask you this last question. Well, I guess I got a couple of questions for you, Gary. What would you say, or why would you recommend a man join some type of brotherhood? Because you were looking for community, some yeah, type of men's group or a private community like the Real Men 300. Why would you recommend a man join something like this?
You know, because I believe that, you know, the Bible talks about iron sharpens iron, right? And if you look at the biblical stretch, it is men who are in relationship with men, who are, you know, and there's normally a mentor, someone that these men are getting mentored by.
Right.
So what that tells me is we are DNA driven, right? If you don't believe that, then watch a bunch of guys watching a football game together, right? And see how they connect, even through a football game, high five, slapping on the butt, mm-hmm, yelling and screaming, right? They may even be talking about things during that football game that they would never talk about anywhere else. So that tells me that men desire to be in community. They desire that relationship with other men. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like when we're in relationship with other men, we don't feel as alone on that horse. Because what happens with those true relationships, it's like your best friend. There's things you tell your best friend that you don't tell anybody else.
Right.
Right. Because you feel safe when you're in an environment where there is a air of safety, right? It is safe to bare your soul. It is safe to talk about your weaknesses. It is safe to be in this place. And what we talk about isn't going to go back to your wife, right? Mm-hmm. Now you take that same environment and you make it God-centered.
Right.
Right. Now you have a bunch of men that are saying, hey, let me support you. Let me be your accountability. Let me be your sounding board when you're in this place, so that you have a safe place where you can go back, get encouragement. You know, the Bible talks about wise counsel, where you can get wise counsel and then go back into the fight, mm-hmm, right? What they think is the fight. But you can go back into this place with your wife and you can have now some wise counsel and be more compassionate and empathetic to that environment and speak very differently than you would if you didn't have that wise counsel.
Right. Well said, Gary. I mean, you're right on point. You know, and now, Gary, I want to close out with this, with you speaking directly to a man. He's out there listening. And this man, he can relate to your story. He was abandoned by his parents, or a parent that really harmed him and hurt him to his core. And maybe he was molested or abused, and he's struggled with anger and was mad at the world, and that his only recourse was to fight. And he's going through a couple of bad relationships because they didn't work out, because he didn't resolve his issue. But Gary, he hasn't arrived at the place where you are today. Yeah. What would you tell him if he's going through exactly that stuff, but he doesn't have what you have right now? What advice would you give him, and what would you say to him?
You know, what I would say to him is, brother, lay down your sword, man, and ask for help, because it doesn't get better. Mm-hmm. It just gets worse. And if you're seeking to really be in relationships with others that are loving and kind, then you're going to have to seek out a community where you feel safe, because it's likely all about you just don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you have to fight. You know, we are geared toward a few things, fight or flight. And if you don't seek out an understanding of why you feel the way you feel, then you're going to continue to sabotage relationships, because nothing is going to feel ever okay. You're not going to be able to feel calm or emotionally stable or safe in any environment. So I'd say, you know, first, you know, seek out a community of individuals that you feel safe with, that honor how you feel. And then secondly, get yourself into some therapy, mm-hmm. right? You know, and really start talking about what you feel, share your feelings. And once those things start to happen, then there's a revelation that starts to happen. And life, brother, I'm telling you, life gets better.
Yeah. And thank you, Gary, for speaking to that, because we want to give men out there hope, and you're not unique. There's a lot of guys who can relate to you. You're resonating with Gary's story because you said, man, that's me. There had to be something that attracted you, Gary, to the podcast. Said, man, there's something about this guy that reminds me of me. And mm-hmm. so we're better together when we're able to do that. So, Gary, if they wanted to reach out to you and find out, even come up with even more questions that they would have for you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you?
Couple of different ways. You can go to my Instagram account, which mm-hmm. is G-G-E-E, Wayne, W-A-Y-N-E, Nix. Mm-hmm. Or you can email me directly at M2Worship, so M2Worship. Mm-hmm. at gmail.com. Right. And that would be the quickest ways to get to me.
All right. And Gary, what we'll do is we'll put that in the show notes for them, so they can always reach out to you. That's Instagram. That's G Wayne Nix on Instagram. Yep. Or M2Worship at gmail.com. And you guys can reach out to Gary if you choose to do that. Gary, thank you so much, man, for being on the show, man, and being so gracious with your time. Brother, you know how I feel about you. I love you, man. And you, as well as the other leaders, have been such a blessing to me. This ministry and this organization would not exist if you guys didn't believe in the vision and been supporting this vision. And you've watched us go through a lot of changes and growing pains and everything. And you know that you wouldn't be here if it wasn't that you didn't believe in the work that we're doing. So thank Absolutely. You for your friendship. Thank you for your leadership. And thank you for just being a great brother to me and the guys in this ministry, man. I really appreciate it.
I love you, brother.
Love you too, man. And guys, for you out there listening, please do us a favor. And this is so important. Take about 30 seconds, go over to Apple Podcasts and rate the program. Let us know what you thought about this interview that I had with Gary Nix, and show us some love and give us a review, because it's the best way to help us get this podcast in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret, guys. You made us number one on Apple Podcasts because you believe that sharing is caring. So keep on sharing the love. Until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man that God has called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible, terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, stay connected, because real men do connect. But most importantly, stay in God's grip, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.